caution. The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
I feel like a Muppet when I do that.
You look like a Muppet.
I feel like a Muppet. This is the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning...
marriage.
Indeed.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
I am, of course, your host, Mark Unger. Joining me, as always, is the very lovely and charming Diane Brierley in all her glory. And, of course, the amazing, incredible Ross Allen Skorzewski. How are you doing there, Ross?
I'm awesome, as always.
You're awesome. You're awesome.
This day is a better day because I was able to draw breath.
We should create a new word.
Oh, no.
There's awesome.
Oh, there's awesome.
There's awesome. And then there's awesome because Ross takes awesome to a new level.
That's right.
That's what it is, man, right there.
He does.
That's totally awesome.
Awesome.
Welcome to my universe.
Okay. Where everything's awesome all the time.
Yeah. Right. I'm glad I could share it with you.
Engineering the show as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, engineer extraordinaire and part-time serial killer. We always say that because he has three first names.
Timothy Robert Ray.
Only serial killers have three first names. He's back there pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the show. Of course, the lovely Nancy over there with her roaming camera. This is the show that handles all of your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at ask@markgunger.com. This is how the show works. You can send a question about anything and remain totally anonymous. We, in turn, then are brutally honest. This is a show of brutal honesty. Again, if you're new to the show and you're listening to it, you might get a little shocked at first. Some of the people who get the most shocked are the ones who are listening, not really the ones who are participating. Because they, how could you be so rough and how could you be so direct? But the people know this. We tell them that, and then when they email us, we tell them again, and we warn them again, and we say, okay, are you ready? Yeah, you sure you want us to answer this? Yeah, okay. So, you know, just relax, everybody. This is, and everything doesn't have to be warm and fuzzy all the time. Now, in reality, no one should ever be this direct and mean to anybody. But just it's just we're juxtaposing ourselves against a sea of Christian broadcasting that everybody's overwhelmingly concerned about how you feel and how your feelings feel. How does your feeler feel when you feel the way you feel? And this show, we don't care how you feel. Okay?
That's
the premise. It's also highly entertaining at times, unless we just irritate you.
But, which is possible.
And we always say this
you know,
is the,
you either like this or you hate it. That's one thing's for sure.
This is the conversation that would be had. You know, if
around the kitchen table, like, nobody else is listening.
If, or if you're not there,
if you're not there, this is what we talk. This is how people talk about you. When
absolutely.
You're
here.
Yeah.
You want to know what people say about you behind your back?
When you describe your issue, and people say, "Man,
do you talk
crazy.
Behind my back?
Can you imagine that? What a dumb thing! I can't believe the thing. You know, you'd never say that to them.
No.
Right.
But we do that on the air. This is the conversation. Here's your chance to hear what other people think about you when you're not in the room. All right, that's how it works.
That's
so,
right.
Anyway. And most of all,
isn't
the show.
That gossip?
The show is totally awesome.
It's awesome.
Awesome. It's totally awesome.
It is.
What do you got there today?
A story from the Wall Street Journal. It says how the gynecological, not gynecological, but gynecological clock
gynecological.
Could change the dating game.
All right.
They say that now yet another study has shown an association between older fathers and schizophrenia, autism, and bipolar disorder in their offspring.
Okay, now something. What they're talking about, people. For those of you who are waiting forever to get married, and obviously you don't know how to add, you don't know how to do math, you think you're going to live forever. These people are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
40 years old, still single.
They don't think it through. No
forward radar. You're half dead,
right?
For heaven's sakes. And in your 30s, you're getting close to half dead. And then a lot of people can't even get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talk at this, some churches, the girls get mad and they cry. What are you doing? What do you think is going to happen? You're just telling me about a friend of yours, 35 years of age. Everybody, she did it right. They did it right. They waited. She had her career. Everything, blah, 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 blah. Oh, sorry. I just hit Nancy.
Sock the camera.
Boom. And then now they're heartbroken because they're trying real hard and she can't get pregnant.
Yeah.
Well, apparently it wasn't quite so smart in the first place. Right. And people just start, now if you don't want a family, okay. And then they're finding on top, adding to the difficulty of even getting pregnant, boys and girls, they're finding that the older you are, the more likely you will have birth defects and problems, autism and stuff, all of this. And they've always pointed it to the woman.
Right.
The older she is, now they're finding it's a joint deal.
Yes.
And a lot of it is tied to the age of the father.
Not just the age of the
mother. The older the father gets, the more likely this thing. Now, again, there are people, they can't find anybody to marry until they're 42. Then fine. I mean, nobody's condemning anybody. But there's a culture that's trying to get everybody to wait as long as possible to get married. And I think it's very destructive. And they're just not doing the math. More and more studies are showing the longer you wait, the harder. Do you know your chance? What was that one study? Your chance of living to 100 years old doubles if your mother was under 25 when you were born.
Mm-hmm.
Stop thinking about that. You know, and of course, everybody's now they're waiting until older and older. And now this will probably change because of medicine and stuff like that.
Yeah.
People are living longer anyway. Yeah. But maybe the ones where their moms were 18 when you were born and lived at 120. I don't know. But there's just something about we're not designed by nature. We're not designed. God did not design you to wait till you're 40 years old to start having babies for the first time. Now, there's a lot of people have babies, you know, in their 48, mm-hmm. just, you know, surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
And it's great and it's fine. It's not that being an older parent is the end of the world, but I just don't think people are thinking.
Right.
Those are and these are people usually that when this happens to, they've already have several kids and they know the routine. And and even to them, it's a shocker because they realize, holy cow, I'll be drawing Social Security by the time, you know, the kid is, still in high school. And, you know, it's not end of the world if you're an older mom or dad.
But what
everybody understands that. But I'm just saying it's the culture. We are encouraging, in Western culture, people to wait as long as possible. Do you know why? Because we worship at the altar of money. Now, as a result, immorality is shooting through the roof in the Christian community.
Yes.
Because young people are waiting so long to get married, they can't control their sex drives. Now, Paul said, you know, because there's so much immorality in the church, get a wife.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't read the Bible. We don't know the Bible. We think we know the Bible. We don't know. Well, we just read pieces of the Bible. Because we're not living by the Bible. Because if the churches were really living by the Bible, they would encourage all their young people to get married as early as possible. Why? So that you can stop this immorality problem.
Yep.
You know, I was in church in South Africa. And I love South Africa. They're one of my favorite places in the world. Most wonderful, gorgeous people. Fabulous people. Tons of single people. Boy, if you're looking for someone to marry, you can't find anybody, go to South Africa. There's a gazillion gorgeous. The women are gorgeous. The men are gorgeous.
Yes,
they're
they
all
are.
Like, holy singing God. And as much as I love you guys, and I know they watch this in Africa, y'all are crazy. Y'all wait until 35, 36, 37, 38, and you don't even have a boyfriend or a girlfriend in the church. You're half dead. What are you thinking? And I know what their answer always is, well, the money. Mm-hmm. The money. Well, who cares about the money? You know, two single people who are broke, it's easier for them if they get together.
Mm-hmm.
How does this cost you more money to
make a positive?
I'm telling you, is that they're not thinking. And then they're going to have a problem with birth rates and all these other problems and the immorality problem. How about you just do life right? And I know a lot of you come from a culture that say, well, you know, in our culture, you know, you have to have a dowry. Look, at some point, as Christians, we should bring in as much of our culture that is a positive culture. Christianity shouldn't all look the same. Churches in Africa shouldn't look and sound and feel like America. Churches in India shouldn't look and feel like churches in Europe. I mean, we should let all kinds of culture come in. I think that's the beauty of the diversity. But at some point, culture becomes contrary to the kingdom of God. And when you have a culture that is contrary to the kingdom of God, you say no. And I don't care if your culture is you normally wait for a dowry. No, we don't do it. Why? We're born again Christians. We don't play that game.
Right.
Okay? Well, my family get mad at me. Look, Jesus, don't think I brought peace into the world. Doesn't everybody think Jesus came to bring peace?
Well, that's what they say.
Right? Jesus said, his own words, do not think I came to bring peace. I came to bring a father against his son, a mother against his mother-in-law. Of course, that's an easy call there. You know, where, he says, your greatest enemies will be the members of your own family. Why? Because at some point you start to make a choice and say, we're going to stop doing a culture that is damaging to my moral faith. So bring as much culture that is consistent with your faith as you possibly can. But when you're tied in a culture that says you got to wait till you're almost 40 years old because you don't have enough money to get married, that's craziness. I mean, I asked one pastor over there, so, you know, because they're all waiting so long to get married. And the pastors were there in the room. Half the guys were single. 35, all of them single.
Yep.
I said, can I ask you a question? He said, what? I said, do you guys have a problem with morality? And I went, oh, yeah, it's a big problem. What do you think?
Figure it out.
Thanks for admitting.
Do the math there, you goofballs. Of course you have a morality problem. Quit waiting so long to get married. Get on with it. Live a life. Find a young lady. Find a young man. Love each other. Let's serve God together and start doing life right.
Well,
so we don't have much money. Well, who has a lot of money? I was totally broke when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
You just are building a life together. Two are better than one. But no, we want two separate ones. We want the ones to build a life together and then put them together.
Yeah.
Well, do you see how backward
life,
that is?
You have your life, and then we'll try
to... Do you
to...
see how backward that is?
Oh, yeah.
You should take two people. Here's person number one and person number two. This is an interracial marriage right here. Because we have a black man and a white woman. This is interracial, okay? Now, instead of getting together and together in strength, building a life together, we're telling my, well, build your life first.
Yeah.
Build your life and then get married. And of course, then they're miserable with each other.
Oh, it's hard to put those two lives together at that point.
The most miserable people in the world who wait until they're almost 40 to get married. They drive each other crazy.
Yes.
Oh, I could talk for an hour and a half on this alone, but we have to take our first break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Mark Gunger. Yeah, we've got an app for that. Download your free Mark Gunger app today.
And we're here.
Sure we are.
We're doing a commercial break here. We're actually doing a commercial.
A real commercial?
Yeah, a real commercial. For our podcast, this Mark Gunger Show podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. We actually have a sponsor now.
Audible.com.
Yeah, what are they thinking? Audible.com. They are the leading provider of audiobooks with over 100,000 downloadable titles. Really, I've only read 50,000, so I'm like behind.
You've read 50,000? You've read 50,000 books?
I don't know that I've ever read 50,000 words.
I don't think so.
100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. I think we are in the nonfiction category.
Yes, I think so.
Consider the list of books you've been meaning to read. Ross?
Ross?
What's the list?
Do you read?
Yes, I do read.
You don't even know how to read.
I don't.
You've been meaning to read all these books, but you haven't got around to it. Audio books are a great solution. Because you're able to just listen. I mean, this is amazing how much time we waste just driving from point A to point B or sitting in airports or whatever. Yes. I mean, we spend a lot of a time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we try and get on our smartphones and just try and keep our brains busy and play solitaire and stuff. Mm-hmm. Why not listen to a book?
Right.
Get some education into your brain. Audible has them all. Download the app for your phone or MP3 player right after you download the Mark Gunger app, of course. And you can listen right on your computer if you need to. Audible also makes it easy to listen on your commute. And whenever and wherever you choose. For Mark Gunger Show listeners, now check this out, you guys, all you guys who listen to the show. Try Audible today with a free audiobook of your choice. Go to audiblepodcast.com/Gunger.
Mm-hmm.
Don't slash Gunger, but...
Well, please, can I be the first
slash
in line?
Gunger, please don't slash me. All the details are on their website, audiblepodcast.com/Gunger. Everybody, right now, go online and check it out. We'll be back.
Hey, have you heard? Got the news for you. Hey, have you heard? Got the news for you. Hey, have you heard? The storm rolled away and everything's all right.
This is the Mark Gunger Show. Talking about love, marriage, and relationship. Music by the Reverend Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. Christian blues. I love that guy. You know, I'm going on tour with them next year.
I'm
doing some dates with them, yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Keyboards.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Can Ross and Ross go to Sturgis with you?
It would be Rossum.
It would be Rossum.
It would totally be Rossum. You should go. Well, if your wife will let you.
Sturgis.
Yeah, let's work that out. There's this problem called the wife.
It's your daughter.
I know, but I'm old now, and I don't have children, and I can take off.
Yes.
And even then, I got to ask the wife.
Yes.
You got two children by yourself at home? Yeah, I think the wife's going to let you disappear for
a week. Why don't you just have a talk with her and tell her it's necessary?
I'm more afraid of her than you are.
You guys.
Oh, she's one strong chick. All right, so we have our couple here, our interracial couple.
Ebony and ivory live together.
Boys.
Harmony. Woo-hoo! Side by side.
On my remote control. Desktop.
Why don't we?
Anyway, okay.
Boys.
What? We're grooving.
I guess.
Never interrupt a man when he's grooving.
That's right.
That's rule number one.
Okay.
Well, not rule number one. That should be the 11th commandment.
Feign some semblance of order and control
a man's
here.
Groove. That never. That's the 11th commandment. It's just they ran out of time.
Thou shalt not interrupt.
They were
going to
throw
the groove.
It in. But they thought it was so self-evident they would have to put it in, but okay. Apparently they needed it. The 11th commandment was, it was in the first tablets, actually.
Yes.
Never interrupt a man when he's grooving.
Okay.
Yep. All right. So now.
How Mark got his groove back.
Okay, so we got man and woman, yeah. And they get together, and they build a life together. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyone who's ever listened to me for more than 20 minutes knows I'm a big advocate of young marriage. I think asking people to delay marriage is the root cause. Are you hearing me? It is the root cause to the moral disintegration of Western culture and of the church. At some point, we got to be smarter than this. Because you get people who have this great sex need that Paul writes about in the Bible. Instead of getting in together and satisfying it morally and righteously before God, we encourage them to stay apart as far as possible. And then they sin their little brains out. And then they're so damaged when they get together. And it's just a big stinking mess. Mm-hmm. Because we're telling them all, because we serve at the God of money, at the altar of money. Oh, we love you, money. Oh, money. Money, money, money. Praise the name of money. Oh, we don't say that.
Oh,
we sing praise Jesus. We celebrate praise Jesus, but when it comes to our decisions, money trumps.
Yes.
And that has got to stop. And besides, it makes no sense for two individuals to build their life together and then get together.
Right.
You should come together and build a life together because two are better than one. Mm-hmm. But no, we say one is better than two until you got a bunch of stuff. Then we put the two of them together, and then we spend all our time counseling them because they can't stand each other.
True.
Because they're so irritated at each other. All the time. Especially, again, in South Africa. I talk to couples all the time. Wait until their 30s get married. 35, 38.
Mm-hmm.
Say it. You know, Pastor, we just got married 2 months ago. Yeah, how's it going? Oh, it's just awful.
Awful.
I mean, they should be having the most fun of their lives.
Yeah.
I mean, who's at each other? In 60 days, you're in
it's
hell?
Awful. Or less. I mean, we get emails where it's less than,
because they wait,
you know, it's
so
a couple of
long
weeks,
and they get so independent.
Month.
You're trying to put them together. It's just, it's stupid. It's so many levels. I can't even, it's like talking to the wall. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Some people listen to us. Some people mm-hmm. listen, and at some point you have to break past whatever culture, quit worshiping at the idol. I know everybody needs money, but how about you get together and earn money together? How about you get together and build a career together? Well, what about school? Well, what about it? If you can go to school like this, you can still go to school like this.
We didn't.
Mm-hmm. Why is there this assumption, as soon as you do this, you can't go to school?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're afraid that you're going to get pregnant and have children
they're
right away.
They're having sex anyway!
I know.
In 1950, you could make that argument.
Yeah. Well, were they having sex in 1950?
No, but they didn't have birth control.
Yeah, yeah.
With birth control, you don't.
Yeah.
All there are, it doesn't make sense.
No, I know.
Anyway, so it creates all these problems. Now, according to this study you were reading, the Gaiological Clock, they're finding that the older men are now. It's more tied to the age of the men that is increasing the risk of schizophrenia, autism, bipolar diseases, mm-hmm. because the old man was so old.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these guys are 40, 45, 50 years of old, still fathering children because they tend to jump back in an earlier pool.
Yeah.
The 50-year-olds marry 30-year-olds.
And, yes.
You know, and now there's, you know, how about we just start thinking this through? I don't know.
Yes. Well, and like you say, the guys, I'm sorry, Ross.
That's all right. It's just been happening. So you go.
The guys will jump back.
You're shrinking again, Ross.
I know. It's because every time I get checked on, I'm like,
there he is.
Interrupted.
I'm sorry.
He looks like he's about 6 years old there. Sit up. Didn't your mother tell you not to slouch?
Hey, man. Why is it always about me?
Why is it always about your mother?
What?
I don't know. I just
because I'm Rossum.
He's Rossum.
Okay. So, like you say, these guys wait till they're 35, 40, and then they jump back into the late 20s, mid 20-year-old pool. But this article is saying that these ladies are no longer going to want that because they're going to factor into the whole equation the man's age. They don't want to have babies with these mutations. So, therefore...
they're going to quit marrying these older guys.
Yeah.
If this catches on.
Yeah, if they get a clue.
My experience is people are not very smart and they don't want to listen to them. They're more interested in living into a fantasy and an emotional nonsense they've got in their heads than looking at facts. If the facts catch on, yes, people would stop this. If people would be intelligent and look at the facts, they would stop this whole system that we're doing currently.
Nope.
But they won't.
Instead, they're freezing eggs and freezing their sperm for later.
Because they're more concerned about the culture which we've created today, that the most important thing in the world is to wait as long as possible for marriage, and it's just ridiculous. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
In the dead of night was the day I started living, and oh, what a life it's been.
There's a little strings.
With you every day.
I did that on my iPhone.
Thanksgiving.
What?
I did that on my iPhone.
You're so weird.
Now and then, and the rest is yet to come.
This guy's really good.
Who is it?
Michael O'Brien.
Who's that?
Michael O.
From?
Michael O'Brien.
How would people know this man, though, if they were listening to New Song?
New Song.
I don't know anything about a New Song.
He's from the band New Song. He was one of the
vocal group, not a band.
So I wouldn't even know.
Sorry.
What do I know?
Band,
I don't know anything.
Vocal group.
I just know it's great. You can check out his music at michaelo.org. All right, so I just went crazy on this first opening. You know, it doesn't take much to get me on a rant.
No, it sure doesn't.
But I just, this whole thing with delayed marriage just is so irritating.
Can I bring to the table what I was going to say?
Sure, that'd be awesome.
That would be very awesome. My whole thing with this is that I can't imagine being 40, 42 years old, beginning to start a family, and then at a time where, I mean, children can stress a person out, no doubt.
What?
And when you're,
I've never
experienced
that.
And you're in the midst, of, especially at a time where most families have the husband and the mother working.
Both working.
How do you balance career, being a new mom or dad, and then, in your early to mid-40s, try to rely upon the benefits of your parents to help parent and raise your children when they're probably looking at, what, mid-60s, early 70s?
Mm-hmm. That's a great point.
Yeah.
I mean, traditionally, family would be there to help you.
Yeah.
Yep.
And these guys are waiting so long that your parents will be so old.
Yeah.
And now on limited incomes, they can't help you. They can't, you know, people are making it so hard for themselves. It's just crazy. And all that from this one study about the gynecological clock. I'll play off the word gynecological. Gyne comes from the word
woman or female.
Female.
From the Greek,
so
I
that's
believe.
That's what gyne means.
Gyne.
Gynecological.
Mm-hmm. Careful there.
Come on.
Careful.
Come on. Go there.
What was the phrase we use?
Gynecolic.
A gynecolic.
Yep,
you know what
I'm
a gynecolic must be?
Yes.
You know what an alcoholic is?
Yes.
Someone who's addicted to booze.
Yes.
Maybe a gynecolic is someone who's addicted to women.
Yeah,
women
apparently.
Parts.
That's right. Hi, I'm Ross.
Hi.
I'm a
gynecolic.
Reoccurring gynecolic. Been struggling for 19 years.
Baby, come here. Come here, baby.
Can't help myself. I'm a gynecolic.
I'm a gynecolic, baby. Come here.
Well, they have addictions to everything else, you know?
Yeah, really. How come no one's ever come up with gynecolic?
There's
maybe that's what maybe that's what sexual addiction is.
You're a gynecolic.
Maybe we start a gynecolic help group.
I think there's a good kind and there's a bad kind.
I need a hug. Hi,
Ross. There's the kind you need to be sober from.
Hi, I'm Ross. I'm a gynecologist.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Ross.
Hi, Ross.
I've been sober
for... What kind of 12-step program would that be?
Yeah. I don't know. Stop it. 12 times.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. All right. When we come back, we will actually jump into your email. I presume we have some emails.
Oh, yes,
I see a
we
whole
do.
Pile of them
oh,
there.
Oh, yes, we do.
And if you have a question you would like us to take a shot at answering, although after listening to the first 30 minutes of this show, you may not want us.
Right.
There's people right now thinking, I was going to ask them something, but these people are crazy. I'm not asking them anything.
No, thank you.
But if you have a question about love, marriage, dating, relationships, whatever, email them to us at askask@markgunger.com. We'll pull it out. We'll kick it around. We'll tell you what we think. Whether you agree with what we think is really not the point. At least you get a chance just to listen to what we think. Anyway, hopefully we'll have some fun with that. Your emails when we come back right after this.
Caution. The Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
Yeah. Mark Gunger Show and or watching it, depending on your particular situation. What are you doing?
He's cold.
It's my protest.
Look at Ross. Isn't his iris like really cut to me?
It seems, yeah.
Well, cut to Cheeky Poo. In the back table. I don't know. Is it just me?
I'm hallucinating. She's hot.
He seems like it's really dark over there.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's freezing.
It's a snow machine, for crying out loud, not an air conditioner.
He's freezing because of our...
I finally feel that air. It feels good. I finally feel...
There's a radiator on in this room. It's Diane.
The human radiator.
She's having a solar flare.
Nothing like menopausal women. That's how we heat our homes here in Wisconsin. Everybody says, how do you stay warm? Yes. Throw a menopausal chick in there, and she heats the room.
The benefits of getting married just are amazing.
So we actually have the air conditioner on in Wisconsin because she's so hot. Or she's gonna
counter her solar flares.
She's experiencing solar flares even as we are doing the show.
Watch out.
Maybe that's why we've been having some technical
difficulties. It's
going to
mess up with your technical problems. It's going to send the radio frequencies.
That's what it is. She's
crazy. It's
She's having solar. The electronics are going to start freaking out pretty soon.
Oh, poor Ross.
Because of
it's
the
okay. I can handle it. I'll take one for the team.
Solar flares coming off of Diane. All right.
Okay, ready?
And then Nancy, she's pregnant.
So
pretty soon she's going to be on fire. Good Lord. We're going to have to leave the windows
and
open.
And asking for pickles with peanut
trade.
Butter.
You can take your coat off and you take yours off and I'll take mine off and forget it.
What?
That didn't sound right.
Anyway,
move on.
Right.
Never mind.
What
Let's
do you got
keep
for
going.
Emails?
She says, I'm 41.
Yes.
I've been married for 22 years. We have 3 children.
Good.
When I met my husband at 18, I was a broken down girl. I jumped into marriage with this 19-year-old guy whom I did not truly know.
Oh, blah, blah, blah.
But he
How do you do that?
Let me finish.
All right.
But he promised to take care of me. In my profound immaturity and desperation, I thought love would conquer all, got pregnant, then got married. I rededicated myself to the Lord at 23 and have been unequally yoked and the spiritual leader for my kids ever since.
No, you're not, but go ahead.
He does agree that things could be better and wants to be married for the long haul. He also says he wants me to be happy. He's not really working toward that, although he has a list of things to work on. Here's the list he's supposed to be working on. Date night every 2 weeks. Joining the men's Bible study at church, spending one-on-one time with the kids who are 22, 17, and 11, listening to the audiobooks on marriage that are collecting dust on his nightstand, and so on. Bottom line
wow.
is...
Who made this list?
She did.
Yeah.
Oh, Zeke Heil.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Zeke Heil! You're not listening to me!
She says... You're not listening
Zeke
to
Heil!
Me!
Zeke Heil! Zeke Heil! Zeke Heil!
She says, I feel like I've settled
Bow
for so little
me.
For so long.
Bow before me, man.
No one. I'm keeping going. I'm just keeping going.
Was that Superman?
I'm just keeping going.
Said, come and bow before
me. Come before me and
I'm
bow.
I'm just going on.
And he does it because he's a hopeless gynecolic. He has no choice. He must obey.
I'm going to proceed.
It's the kryptonite.
She says, no, I'm
it's
going
true.
On. I'm
it's true. It's
the power of
the lady.
Stop,
okay.
Stop.
All right.
She said, no one has successfully been able to address the issue of a spouse, for lack of a better term, outgrowing the other. I'm not talking about an excuse for an affair or a divorce, just genuinely want to be in a different place in my life.
Hey, ho, high and mighty.
This will take an hour.
I knew that this one would make you quite upset.
Hours.
There's a lot of buzzwords
well,
here.
I'm not
that
really
just
upset.
Have you jacked.
I'm not upset because I'm in a good mood because we came up with the word
gynecolic.
Which is
brilliant.
So anytime you're in
term.
A bad mood, I'm just going to say that word.
So I'm just going to tell my wife, "Shara, baby, I'm a gynecolic. Can't help myself. Come here."
Okay.
I mean,
there's so much wrong.
Just,
I know.
There's so many things wrong here.
Yes.
You know, where do you start? Let's give the mini version of this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know him. Everybody whines about. I didn't know. We didn't know. Who knows? Nobody knows anybody. Mm-hmm. How are you going to know anybody?
At 19 years old.
And do you know for centuries, people got married and they virtually met each other.
They
the
literally did not
literally
know each other.
Didn't know each other.
No.
I mean, what was there's so many examples of this. But anyway, I'll go into a whole rant. You don't know. I will say this. It is possible to really, really not know somebody. And that's not smart. At least in today's culture, you should be able to date someone, get at least a sense, but no one ever really knows anybody. But I will say this, that women, particularly the women in the church, they desire men they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
the bad.
Bad
guy.
And it's bad.
And that's bad.
In fact, a lot of you girls right now, listen to me. You have wonderful boys that you were raised in the church with. You don't want to marry them. You know what they say? Oh, it's like my brother. He's like my brother. No, no, no. He's someone you know.
Yeah.
What you want to do is marry someone you don't know.
That's right.
It's the mystery of it all.
It's the mystery of it all. And you think it's so exciting because then you can fill in all your baloney in your head. You can fit it into someone and you think it fits because you don't really know them.
And you marry a psycho.
Well, you can't do it to Larry because you know Larry. Larry doesn't fit this perfect picture you have. I'm telling you, you girls are making horrible mistakes by not dating the guys that you grew up with in the church. And you know these guys and you know their character. You know who they are. But no, no, no. Oh, you got to be so romantic and so special. Oh, so you want to marry men you don't know, and then you have this problem. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other hand, no one ever really, even if she marries Larry, she's not going to really know Larry.
Right. Not to, you know.
But there is this problem where they're drawn to this, and then they whine about it later.
Yeah.
So that's what ticks me off. I said, oh, boo. I didn't know each other. Oh, boo.
And then this excuse for why there's problems.
Here's the other problem I have, too, is everybody goes back to the beginning, no matter what their marriage problem is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it can't be because you're a selfish, narcissistic, bossy chick. No, it can't be that. It's we didn't know each other, or we didn't have enough money, or we were dumb, or we were too fat, or we were too skinny, or we didn't have that. Yeah, everybody goes back to, listen to almost anybody who has a marriage problem. I guarantee you, money says, within moments, as they start to explain why they're at where they're at, they'll go back to the beginning.
Yep.
We were too young. We were too chubby. We were too unknown of each other. We didn't date long enough. We didn't do it right. I mean, everybody, look.
I was too immature.
Yeah, it's not about how you start the marriage, you silly people. It's about how you live the marriage. Good grief. It's not how you start the race. It's how you finish the race. Mm-hmm. Marriage is a marathon. The start isn't so important. You ever watch the start of a marathon? Everybody just stands around.
Yep.
It's not a sprint. Sprints are critical to the start. But everything, but marriage is a sprint. It's not. It doesn't matter how you start. I mean, you want to start the best you can. But even if you start totally wrong, you can still make this work. It's not about, you got to get that out of here. So that's number, and I could talk for an hour and a half on that alone.
Before you switch topics, can I say something? This whole immaturity thing, we were too immature.
Yeah.
Well, if suddenly you have become so much more mature, then why the heck can't you grow up and stay married?
Yeah.
That's because just the dumbest excuse. It just occurred to me when you were saying.
Blame. Yeah. Oh, yeah,
it's like we were too immature. Okay, if you're so mature
and now they're more immature than ever, that way they're acting about it.
Yeah. I know.
Which is going to lead you to.
Okay, so the next one, I'm the spiritual leader.
Yes.
No, you're just bossy.
Yes. Okay?
You're just a bossy Heil Hitler chick. All right?
Dispensing to-do lists.
I don't know, maybe she's got a swastika on her arm or something.
Good night.
Sieg Heil, do this. Bow before me, man.
Oh,
you have to do this. You have to pray this. You have to do that. You have to read.
Okay.
Seriously?
Listen to the audio tapes on marriage.
If I had a guy telling me that list, you know how mad I would be. I mean, nobody should be giving
nobody
a list.
Nobody should be giving
are you
a
kidding
list?
Me?
You are being disrespectful to your husband.
Yes.
The Bible says you should respect your. That's not being disrespectful.
But he's not a Christian. We're unequally yoked.
But he's going to church and he's listening to all this stuff. She says he's not a Christian?
He must be going to church because she's trying to get him to go to the Bible study when he's at church and
things
like that.
She is just, I'm telling you, she is a bossy chick who's using the Bible to justify her bossiness.
Yep.
And we're unequal. I hate that term.
Mm-hmm.
You're already married. Done. It's done. And those people, because the women think they're so much more spiritual than husbands that they're unequally yoked.
And do some people use that to get out of marriage?
They're doing trying to get out of the marriage.
Yes, they do.
They twist the Bible to violate all of God's principles, to make this stuff up on their own. Listen to me. You're not the spiritual leader of your house. Your husband is. I don't care if you do all the spiritual stuff. It never makes you the spiritual leader.
If you were so spiritual, you wouldn't be looking like this.
Spiritual, first of all.
If they were so spiritual, they wouldn't even be saying these
things. Well, that's my point. Let me back up.
Go ahead.
Response.
See, this is why it would take an hour and a half to teach on this alone. Nowhere in the Bible does it say a man's supposed to be a spiritual leader.
Right.
It's so
that's a shock to people,
She quotes all this stuff like she's being biblical, and she's blatantly unbiblical.
Mm-hmm.
They're whining about spiritual. Where in the Bible does it say a man should be a spiritual leader? No place. Where do you make this up? Just because you read the Bible more, who says you're supposed to, who says he's supposed to read the Bible more than you? Well, I have to talk about spiritual things to the kids, so.
Then do it.
Do it. Be quiet. Well, he's supposed to do it. Who told you that? My pastor. Well, your pastor's wrong. There's no place in the Bible where it says, anybody can find where the Bible says a man is a spiritual leader, send it to me. And Diane will give you
$10,000. Oh, yeah, because I have it laying
around.
She has
all that. She's made out of money, this chick. All right. Now, the Bible says he's the head of the home, but it's not something you earn. It's something that's given to you, period, straight up.
Which means...
So there's no way it can be taken away from you.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Your husband's the head of your home, period. Any woman's like, my husband's not being the head of the home. you don't know what you're talking about. You're wrong. Well, I'm being the spiritual leader. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no place in the Bible that says a man has to be the most spiritual in the home. It's not there.
Boy, the last
you're
thing I...
You're ruffling a lot of feathers an hour now, sir.
Easily hour and a half I can teach just on that alone. So I don't know if I happen this late. And then this other thing. Well, I feel like we're outgrowing each other. This is a woman who's just critical. She thinks she's so much better, more spiritual of her husband. She's so much for that, and he needs to do this, and he needs to be more like this, and he needs the fact that you give him a list of stuff he has to do to.
I wouldn't do him.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't either.
Well, I just you know.
Are you kidding me?
Look, I'm sure you're a sweet lady, and I'm so glad you wrote the show, and I'm glad you listened to the show, and I appreciate it. I really do. I'm just thankful to God I didn't marry you.
Oh my!
I know it sounds terrible.
You better take a break.
Seriously,
I know you can rant,
lady. You would hate this if somebody did this to you. Can you imagine if your husband came to you and gave you a list? You need to do this, and you need to do that, and you need to do this, and you need. I mean, what are you doing? Stop! You are violating God's word while quoting pseudo spiritual principles. You are a mess, and you need to stop. What you need to do is you need to go to your husband and say, "No, I apologize. I apologize for giving you that list. I apologize for criticizing you. I apologize for not saying thinking you're a spiritual Zion or whatever. You know what? I'm just going to keep my mouth shut, and I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to honor you. I'm going to love our children. I'll do whatever I need to do.
Preacher.
And just keep your mouth quiet. Stop criticizing him. You are violating the very principle that a woman should respect her. You're not being respectful in any way, shape, or form. Your problem is not your husband. Your problem is you. And we'll go to a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
We never, ever fuss and fight. We learned a long time ago how to get it right. Hugs and kisses, sweet perfume. My baby loves me, so I sing this tune. I love my baby. Hey, I love my baby. Hey, I love my baby. And my baby loves me.
I love my baby. That's why I'm a gynecologist.
She's always.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. This is the Mark Gunger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationship. Mark Gunger along with Diane Briley, Ross Allen, Skorzewski. Problem with the show is you've tuned in late, you missed the running joke line.
Yes.
We were talking about gynecologist, and the word gyna means woman.
Yes.
And gynecologist is someone who works on women, you know.
Gynecological, too.
Gynecologic. And Ross came up with the term gynecolic, which is someone who's addicted to
like
his wife.
Alcoholic.
We're making up the
we're making
definition.
Up the language.
Gynecolic. Yes. There's alcoholics, and there's gynecolics.
We're not alcoholics, but we are gynecolics. We're addicted to our wives. Hallelujah.
Not we.
Yeah, there's no support group needed.
We'll have to think of the male version of it. Let's not go there right now.
GA, Gynecolics Anonymous.
There we go.
All right. What do you got?
Oh, are you done with that one?
Oh, I don't know. What was I talking about?
You were talking about the lady. I didn't know if you were finished.
Oh, I wasn't.
The Zieg Heil lady and the...
It would take too long. It's just... I think we just move on. I'll just...
Okay.
I'm sure she feels bad enough already writing into me. But honestly, relax, man.
All I can say is if she is very spiritually mature as she thinks she is, then she needs to be patient with him.
Why is it people who claim to be so spiritual act so unspiritual?
Because that's what she's doing.
They're not spiritual.
I know.
She doesn't...
They're so spiritual.
She wouldn't see it
that way. Because she's so spiritual. I know this lady. And I dealt with her very sternly, and she finally repented. But she was so spiritual, she wouldn't have anything to do with her husband because she was so spiritual. Wouldn't have sex with her husband because she was so spiritual.
Oh, that's so spiritual.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, everything's wrong with him. I shouldn't have to. And then she started quoting the shoe. Well, that's being unequally yoked. What do you mean he's unequally yoked? Well, he's not as spiritual as I am. And the Bible says, don't he be unequally yoked? They make stuff up.
Yes, they do.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. They are so insulting, so disrespectful, so rebellious. And the Bible says the rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. These people are like witches, some of these women. Seriously.
Yeah. And they think they're so spiritual.
They think they're so spiritual because they go to church and they sing songs and they read the Bible.
Oh, whatever.
Could you?
But they're disrespectful to their husbands in every measurable area they can possibly, and they think they're spiritual. You're not being spiritual.
Could you imagine waking up and hearing your wife say, don't forget to read your Bible today. Don't forget to listen to audio tapes on marriage. And then at the end of the day, your conversation is, honey, did you read your Bible? Honey, did you listen to the audio tapes? Could you imagine that? I could not.
I don't know. I mean, it depends on how it's done. The way she's got a list like that she was rattling off.
I know, that's
holy
my...
moly. I mean, I don't have a problem with why I say, hey, don't forget to read your Bible. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I hope it would be in that way, but it just doesn't seem like it would be.
No, this sounds totally out of whack to me. Mm-hmm. We could be wrong. Maybe he loves the way she does it. Mm-hmm. You never know. That's, you know,
she just
you don't
seems
have
very unhappy.
Things,
if she's so spiritual, she would be content in all of her circumstances.
That's, and that's the real killer. You can tell how they're really unspiritual because they're so unhappy. Because, sweetheart, if you're really spiritual and you're really serving Christ and doing everything right, you would be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You would have a peace that passes all understanding. But these women who are so critical and they spiritualize their rebellion and spiritualize their disrespect.
They're not as spiritual, as they think.
They are miserable, and they know they're miserable. And they're convinced the reason they're miserable is because he's not as spiritual as I am.
If she was as spiritual as she thought, she would be
a
very happy camper
happy.
Right now.
Absolutely.
I like the verse
that you talked about, that women like this, and if they want to win over their husbands, they should do so without
words.
Without words. Live in such a way that compels them.
Oh, but these women have all kinds of words. Always using words to criticize this, that, and the other. Anyway.
Okay, you could go on and on and on.
You know, either she gets it or she doesn't get it. She probably won't get it. All right.
Okay, this one says, quick background. My husband and I have been married almost 20 years. We have 7 children, the oldest of which is my son from a previous marriage. So they have 6 together. Her first, the oldest one is hers, who was 10 years old when we married. That son now has 2 children of his own, so 2 grandkids. My husband and I saw you live recently. Mm-hmm. I really needed to hear you talk about stop trying to change your spouse. During intermission, my husband and I talked about his dislike of our grandchildren. His response is, it's just the way I am, and I can't change it. He's not sure why he feels this way, and truthfully, it extends beyond our grandchildren. Generally, he doesn't like any other children besides our own. Ooh. So my question is, can he change his feelings concerning our grandchildren? Is it normal to behave this way, and how can he fix it?
Here's a guy who's got a sperm fetish. You know, there's something wrong with a lot of men who, if they're sperm did not create that line, they totally disconnect from it.
It could be.
It's true. It's amazing. They can't love their stepchildren because it's not really their child. And they can't really love, he likes his children, but nobody else's children. Mm-hmm. He'll probably like the grandchildren that his children have, but he can't. But here's a man.
They don't have those yet.
You know, it's just sad. I don't know what the cure for this is other than to beat him over the head with a brick, but I don't, you know, it's probably not very spiritual. I don't know what they're thinking.
The fact of the matter is, he might not be able to change the way he feels about it, but he can still act like a nice grandpa.
Oh, I know. I'm so glad because I'm adopted, you're adopted. Mm-hmm. We had men in our lives who loved us and never treated us any different than their own children. In fact, if anything, I think he's nicer to us than he was to his biological children.
I know, in my case, too, sadly.
Yeah, we're a farm family.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these are real men. Yes. Play this for your husband. Dude, we love you. God bless you. But you're not manning up. A real man understands real love. A real man can love anybody. You should be able to love her first kid, even though it's not your sperm kid, as much as your own. And his kids, as much as you don't your own grandkids. You don't get it. If there's some weird connection with some men, there's guys like this.
Oh, I know.
If it doesn't come from their loins, it doesn't matter. I thank God my dad wasn't that way.
Yeah.
And I thank God my Heavenly Father's not that way.
That's right.
Talk about being adopted, man. Dude, you've been adopted into the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
You should really appreciate that. And learn to love God and rejoice the fact that God loves you, even though you were a mess before you came to Him. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
Whether or not it's really truth or not, this is what we think. So, whether or not everybody agrees, you know.
Okay, you gynecologists, ready for this one?
Okay, we are hopeless gynecologists.
Yes!
She wants to know, what is your take on breastfeeding, and how long do you think breastfeeding should be done? A lot of people in the U.S. say that babies should be breastfed till about 6 to 12 months. Other organizations say at least 2 years of age. According to an anthropologist, the natural age of weaning for a child is anywhere between 2.5 to 7 years of age.
Hey, I am
currently nursing a child who is almost 3 and plan on nursing until he self-weans. He mainly only nurses before naps and bedtime. My husband of almost 4 years seems to be a little weirded out. So
he's
a little weirded out.
That is weird.
And thinks I should have weaned him a while back. I've explained the health benefits and how breast milk is literally liquid gold.
No.
But he seems to want to.
First of all, stop. I don't want to hear anymore. I don't know anything about breast milk, okay? I'm not a doctor. I don't know any of this stuff. But What I hear in behind this is a woman who's afraid to make her child do anything. She lacks the self-discipline to impose on that child something that child doesn't want to do. That's her problem. Mm. She's waiting for him to self-wean. That means she won't have to tell him no, and he'll cry. And just, this is a weak-willed woman who is going to, if you don't shake it, you are going to raise a hellion. Because she's going to wait until he wants to self-study and wait till he self-behaves in school and waits until he goes and makes his own decisions about dating and whether or not to have sex, even though he's only 12. And she's going to wait because she doesn't really want to confront him because, oh, lady, it's people like you who create narcissistic monsters. Get a clue. Listen to your husband. I know the benefits of breastfeeding. I don't care. That's not her. I'm telling you, that's not her problem.
She thinks that he just wants the girl back for himself.
She just wants to wait until the child makes the decision.
She thinks what? That the husband just...
The husband is just jealous and wants the girls back.
I would venture to say that he's...
But no. The giveaway is I'm waiting for him to self-wean. Who thinks
in
those terms?
What if he's 10?
But here's the thing. That's what's revealing about that is she can say, I'm going to wait till he's 4. I'm going to wait till he's 27. I can wait till, she can pick a date. No. The real giveaway is I'm waiting
for him to decide. Yes.
You're waiting for a child to decide, and you're going to carry this, and this child is going to run roughshod over you all of your life. You're going to create a hellion. He is going to be a disaster, and someday we'll all have to help support him when he's in prison. For heaven's sakes. How about you quit trying to let the child be the parent, and how about you be the parent? Why don't you think about that for a while? All right, thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you.
Bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.